All right. Well, I want to thank so many of you. It's been 3 long months. Can you believe it? I just had my 3-month checkup on my first surgery that happened on the 11th. So we're right at 3 months. Can you believe that? I don't know how these 3 months have been for you, but they've been slow and long for me. Cannot express enough. Dixie and I, we know, but we feel so loved. I mean, my Lance, the visits, the text, the kind things stop, I mean, over and over and over again. You guys just didn't wear out, and that means the world to me. And us as well, and obviously Dixie's great care for me. But it gives you a new appreciation when you're on your back like that for doctors and nurses and staff, doesn't it? And I told Dr. Widmer, I said, thank you for taking the hitch out of my get-along. And the team at Physical Therapy as well, just like a family, working to help restore strength and mobility and all that. And then the surgery I had, I mean, I just want to hug Dr. Prano for bringing relief to me that he did last Friday, even amidst the pain. And I was so touched by the nurses that cared for me before and during and after the procedure. But I specifically remember one, and I think her name was Tina, but I went into the OR. I was wide awake. I got there at 9:30, didn't go to surgery till 2, and I was there, and, you know, they're stretching you out and tying your arms down and doing all this. But she was on my right here, and she was just talking so calmly, and just the way she was touching my arm and in a reassuring way, and I don't think I was stressed out, but it was just so caring and tender. And when they were putting the anesthetic in there that make you go to sleep, I just remember her putting pressure, talking me through it. So I just want to say on behalf of them, but to all of you that work in the medical field, so thankful for you. And I know that God has given you the skills, you develop them, but God brings healing through you, right? And I just want you to know sincerely from my heart that I'm appreciative of that. And we are blessed in so many ways. Very grateful, very grateful. So, we're starting a new series today called Getting Better. And today the subtitle would just be Every Day. Thus, I requested the song, Better is One Day in Your Course Than 1,000 Elsewhere. And I know that sings real easy, but I want to bring that to focus because I believe that really needs to be the focus of our hearts and our lives. So, we're going to be talking for 5 weeks about things that in your daily life that will help you keep on getting better. Does anybody want to keep on getting better besides me? I mean, that's basically why I just submitted myself to the pain and discomfort of 3 surgeries, because I believe the procedures would help me get better. Agreed? Everyone needs things in their life that present a challenge and present opportunities for growth, and that's where we're headed. So somebody sent me a text on a daily, just encouragement, and I love it. It said something about Tuesday being Tuesday, and I love it because I submit to you that every day can be Tuesday, where we make a choice, daily choices that help us keep on getting better. I think if you've been athletic at all, and you get up to my age in the 60s, 60-something, you know, it's easy that your mind can write all these checks that your body can no longer cash. And there's a lot of things anymore about sports that I don't enjoy doing because I can't get better than I was. I'm not saying that I was as good as I should have been, but I want to pour myself and my energy and my efforts into things even now at 67 that I can get better at. Would you agree with that? And I think it's important that we all find those niches. So I believe that's, whether you know it or not, I believe there's a desire deep within you, and maybe that's why there's a restlessness within you, because you feel like you're at a transition stage and you think more is behind you than is ahead of you. But I disagree. By God's word and his grace, the best is yet to come. And it has nothing to do with the length of time or the years that you've lived. If God's in it, he can do more in what's ahead than what's ever been behind. But he'll use it all for his glory. So, and Joel, I probably need my water cup there, that black one. Sit down there if you would. Thank you. Just set that down there for me. Thank you very much. I'm not talking about the American version of the good life, because I think we get that confused. I differentiate between a good life and a God life. The good life, you know, the American way is about a life of comfort and convenience and fun or whatever, but a God life, believing that God has something better in his heart and mind for you. So don't settle for good when God has something better. Would you agree with that? indescribably better. I grew up eating chili. Did anybody else grow up eating chili? Have a lot of chili? My mother's chili. I mean, there were huge hunks of meat in it and these big old slimy tomato chunks in it, kidney beans and things like that. Can anybody relate to that? I mean, I know it was nourishing and healthy and that. I can tell you I would never order it in a restaurant. But I thought, okay, chili's good on a cold winter's day. And then Dixie and I took our first assignment in Cincinnati, and we met Skyline Chili for the first time. Oh, my lands. I never knew what real chili tasted like until I tasted it there. I mean, I told Dixie, yes, as a matter of fact, we ran to Sam's Club yesterday in Mansfield, and we went to Skyline Chili for a late lunch. And I told Dixie, I wonder what would happen. I said, next time I go in, I'm going to say, I'll have a one-way chili, please. Because you can have it one-way, two-way, three-way, four-way, five-way, all these different toppings. That would be just pasta and chili. I mean, they put it down the pasta and then the very peculiar chili. And then they put this light, fluffy, grated cheese that's just a mountain of cheese. And you'll be happy to know that I ordered half cheese, light. So instead of 2,000 calories, it was 1,899. But I thought, oh, my lands, I bit into that. I thought, now, that's chili. I've been eating chili all my life. But I want to tell you, there's something better. I used to think that all bakeries were created equal, and they were good, right? Bakeries, you go in, you smell things, until I encountered Oakmont Bakery in Pennsylvania. And that was an Oakmont experience, which the Hellers on vacation brought us back some cupcakes recently. I'm telling you, that's better. That's better than any bakery I've ever seen. I'm just telling you, there's so many things in life, and it bugs me because I don't want to just settle for good when there's better out there. I mean, there's better songs that we haven't met yet. I want to meet those songs, don't you? I want to read those books. I want to hear those speakers. I have that desire to go on. Now, here's my point. Here's the key. I believe God's calling us to let go of the good things because we tend to hoard. We tend to hang on to things that are good so that we can embrace the better things. Would that be okay? Would you be willing to let go of something good so you could receive something better? Sometimes we don't receive things better from God because we're hoarding and holding on to what's been in the past. That's good, but there's better. So let go of the good, embrace the better, aim for perfection, someone said, but settle for excellence. I like that, don't you? So you need to discover what God had in his heart and mind that will help you keep on getting better. So I would suggest to you as we sang today, as the scriptures bear out here in a moment, every day with God is better. Would you agree? Every day is better. I mean, how can you improve on that? Because he operates in the eternal now. I mean, it's right now. It's now time with God. So he's going to present his best right here, right now. Not in the past, not in the future, but right now, today. Psalm 84, 1 and 2. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. I love those words. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh cry out for the living God. We just sang that. Is that true of you? In the Old Testament, the courts were symbolic of where the presence of God was. And people had to go to those courts to get as close to God's presence as they could. They had to go someplace to experience God, basically. Psalm 84:10. Better is one day in your courts or in your presence than 1,000 elsewhere. Would you agree with that? But I'm afraid we live lives that it's better is 1,000 days than a day in your courts. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Wow. A single day with God is better than any other day possible ever. A day in God's presence is always best. And if you know Jesus, if you said yes to him, if you're following him, you and I, we get to look forward to the fact that every day we get to live in his presence. Wow. So let's talk about that. And I'll unpack three things specifically that'll help us. But we'll talk about this, a day with God. I find that many people who identify as Christian Now, there's a big difference between saying I'm Christian and I am a Christian. You follow me? Christian's a label. I am a Christian is present active. It's about a relationship that you're in through Jesus Christ. But I think many times, I would say that many who identify as Christian don't really believe what I just read or stated. They don't believe that God's presence is better or that it's enough or that it satisfies the heart's desire, the deepest longing. So they continue on their course, a little bit of God here, but they really continue on, in the words of Moses, for the pleasures of sin for a season, trying not to think about the eventual and eternal payday of sin's consequences from just pursuing a good life. We're talking about, no, the better, the God life. So whoever and wherever you are today, wherever you find yourself, I want to challenge you on this point. It does not get any better than a day with God. Come on, I want you just to think about a time where you have experienced God's presence in a powerful way. It could have been a worship service, it could have been private, it could have been something. Just, you know, I remember as a kid, my dad was a pastor all my life, and I remember when God's Spirit would just come in, especially on Sunday morning worship, and maybe Ed Starcher over here would testify, or Tom McCusker down here, or Don Booth over here. They'd be broken up just telling what God had done in their life. My mom was on the piano over here, on the organ over here, and she'd start songs just spontaneously, and we'd start singing, and God's presence was huge. The altars were used. People just started coming to the altar, and I never wanted those times to end. Do you ever remember those times? Have you had it? It's just like time stands still and you just never want it to end. That's what a day with God is like. Can you get in touch with one of those in your heart? Whoever you are. Why is it so powerful? Because God's thoughts, the Bible says, and I'll just reference some phrases. God's thoughts and his ways are higher than yours. His love is better than life. Would you agree with that? I mean, that's what's great. His love is better than life. In Christ, you have God's forgiveness and forgetfulness of all your sin. You have the security of knowing if you're following Jesus, if you're in Christ, that you're in God's family forever. You have unspeakable joy, happiness, not based on happiness to this world or culture, but based on who God is. You have that assurance. You have supernatural peace source that is real but unexplainable, beyond understanding but cannot be explained away. You have divine purpose and calling in your life and on your life. And there's a unique contribution that God wants you to make. You have the power of the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead. And he's living inside of you. You don't have to go to the courts. He's in you. He's taking up court in you. You have God's provision for life and godliness and for everything he has called you to do. Anything he has called you to do, he will provide. I love what Acts 17:28 A and C part of the verse says. One of my life verses, for in him we live and move and have our being. We are his offspring in the family of God. Any and every day with God is better. Each day is new with possibilities, his mercy and grace. This doesn't mean that there won't be difficult times, challenges and ups and downs and storms. No, there will be. But in the middle of the storm, listen, Jesus is peace. And he's in the boat. Remember, I just read in my devotions in the last day or two about Paul being shipwrecked. Remember when they hadn't eaten, the storms were fierce for days and days and days, and he said, don't abandon ship, God's gonna rescue us. And I would just come up with this conclusion that Jesus is peace when he's in your boat, no matter what the conditions are, and it's better to have Jesus and peace in the boat than be on the shore without him. Agree? Be on the security of the shore without him. Better to have Jesus in your boat. So let's talk about some daily habits. Here's a concern I have that I address often. I think we tend to compartmentalize our spiritual life. Don't we? You know what I mean by that? I'm following Jesus, but that has nothing to do with what I do in my leisure time, how I drive, how I act when nobody's living, the language I use, has nothing to do with how I act when I'm playing sports or whatever. You know, we compartmentalize it. We kind of spend some time with Jesus in the morning, do our Devo, our YouVersion, whatever, and we kind of go, I'm done with that spiritual part of my life, and I want to challenge that today. Because I believe he wants us to live all through every day with a constant awareness of his presence. Do you? I don't know that that's natural. I'm not suggesting it's easy, but I think it's doable or he wouldn't have asked us to do it. But you can recognize that every day, all day long, God is with you because he's in you, speaking and guiding and comforting and convicting and correcting and directing your life. It's about literally doing life with God. It's not compartmentalizing. It's doing all of life with God. Not just segments, all of life with God. I found when I was a youth pastor that many teens found it much easier to walk a straight line when I was with them, when I was present. And I'm thinking, if I could make a difference as a youth pastor, how they behaved, how they talked, how they acted, how much more to know, to be aware that God's Spirit himself is dwelling in you and living in you. If I could have that effect as a human, how much more if we practice the presence, if we practice the awareness of God. So you and I can live with the constant awareness of God's presence in our life every day, all day long. We're told, the scholars tell us that in the Hebrew language, there's no word that's really translated spiritual. God, who was spirit, created everything in his own image. So I'm suggesting to you today that you look through this lens that everything in life is spiritual, has spiritual overtones and consequences. Everything. Everything. I think we need to change our lens. Our lens is cracked. And when you look through a cracked lens, you know what? Things are distorted. So if one of the disciples would saunter up to Jesus in a moment and say, Jesus, how's your spiritual life? I should have challenged my mom with this because she'd meet me at the door and ask me that from time to time. He might have responded, hey, I want you to know I'm simply here doing my Father's business, doing my Father's work. So I'm suggesting that we need to look through the lens that everything in life, everything we're doing is spiritual to God. Everything has spiritual significance. Because I would ask you this. At what moment in your life, as a professing follower who said yes to Jesus, at what moment of your life are you not representing him? When you come to Christ, you're on all the time, full time. Do you understand that? You are representing him. When you think no one's watching, it doesn't make any difference. That's what I say about a small town. I love it because somebody's eyes are on you, whether you know it or not. Somebody came by the house this week to do a repair, a maintenance thing, and I came out and greeted him. He goes, oh, Pastor Nate, we watch you all the time. They're from out of town. They call me by name. Oh, wait, we love you. Going on and on. I'm glad I didn't give him a hard time about how much he charged. So back in the Old Testament, I'll say it again. God would dwell in the tabernacle, the temple, the tent. The people would desire to be in the courts to be near God. But I'll say it again. They would have to go somewhere to be near him. And I think sometimes that's what we think. We have to go to church to be near him. And I'm not saying it's not important that we gather together because it is very, very important. But that's Old Testament stuff. In the New Testament, when you say yes to Jesus, that means become a Christian, a true follower of Jesus, and you live to please him. The Bible says that you become the temple of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to go somewhere to be with God. I'll say it again. His Spirit is in you. Listen, is his Spirit in you all the time or some of the time? Do you believe that? Do you live like it? We probably represent him best in our most unguarded moments or worst. Every day, because that's true, then the Spirit living in you becomes a day with God. You begin to do life with an unending sense of his God's presence, an awareness. And I think that's a mark of spiritual maturity. Doesn't mean you live with your head in the clouds. It's real, it's practical, it's life-giving. I love this. This supports what I just said recently. Colossians 3:17. And whatever, would somebody please say, whatever? That's code for everything. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. In other words, as his representative, our greatest challenge is to point and praise. We don't do it just here and now with raised hands. We do it by what we say and how we respond instead of how we react. by the way we own it and take initiative to apologize when we haven't represented them well. You okay out there? Whatever you do, whatever you say, you're doing it as a representative of the Lord Jesus. That's so true because he's saying basically that all of life is in a spiritual context. Your spiritual life embraces all of life. No compartments, no compartments. You do life with the constant awareness of his presence all the time. Impossible. I don't think it is. You know what it reminds me of? A life verse, and I have many, but you've heard this one. You'll hear it as long as I'm here. John 12, 28a, what's it say? This is the lens we live through, all things being spiritual. Father, bring glory to your name. Father, I want you to bring glory to your name in these ways today, but that has nothing to do with how I treat my husband or my wife or my boss because he's crank or she is. You understand? Father, in everything, bring glory to your name because I want my life to point in praise. I know that I'm a full-time representative of you, and I want to live like it. Because that's not, it's a responsibility, but it's a privilege. It's a privilege. Would anybody agree with me that following Jesus is a full-time deal? It's not about the clubs and the studies and the services and all those things you go to. It's about what you live during the days of the week. And I'm suggesting that when you begin to look at your life each day through this lens as an opportunity to bring glory to the Father's name, I love it. I love it. I'm not pointing to one of my loved ones that's gone on before and is in heaven and the great cloud of witnesses. I'm pointing to him. I'm praising him. Every opportunity I have, I want to point to him. I want to praise him from whom every blessing flows. It doesn't get any better than this. What do I say? What's that lens? I am a child of God, and I get to live today for his purpose. I have the opportunity to bring glory to his name, and nobody can keep me from doing that. No snarled traffic, no nasty driver, no waiting in line, no inconvenience. Nothing can separate me from that mission that I'm called to bring glory to his name. Nobody can control that. Nobody can stop you from bringing honor and glory to his name. Agreed? Nothing can stop you. Nothing can stop that. But Lord, I want to represent you well. So there's three things I want to leave you with about this as I wrap up. And then I think I have a good story that I really feel prompted that I should share because it summarizes all three points. The first thing is, and I'll just do dailies, but the first one is there has to be daily communication in your life if you're going to live with a constant awareness of God's presence daily. So I want to ask you, how is your daily communication with God? I'm just asking. I'm not judging. Communication, certainly. By getting his word in us, because it's not just doing it ritualistically. I mean, when we get it in us, it's life-giving, it challenges it, it goes to the deepest parts of who we are and separates intentions and motives and all of those things. But I know this, in human relationships, I can tell you that relationships rise and fall on the communication factor, do they not? Good relationships always have good communication, and when they hit a snafu or snag, it's because communication sags. And if that's true in human sense, how much more is that true, a principle true, in our spiritual life? 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18 says, so we're talking about the word, we're talking about listening, taking his word in us, we're talking about communicating with God. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 says this, always be joyful. Don't you wish those always words weren't in there? Always. God gives us a chance to be joyful in a difficult circumstance. Always be joyful. Pray continually. How often? That's like nonstop. Pray all the time. And while you're doing it, give thanks. You're pointing and praising whatever happens. That is what God wants for you in Christ Jesus. That's what God wants for you as a follower of Jesus Christ. Always be joyful. Pray continually. Give thanks. Point to him. Never stop praying. I just happened to hear, I'd never heard of this guy. I texted my kids, said, have you heard of a country guy named Jelly Roll? I say, but is he newer? You know, I say something, yeah, 10 years ago. Somebody help me out. Well, he was singing a song called, Need a Favor. Has anybody heard that? I thought, you know, it's rather raw, the lyrics, and it's almost like a confessional. Look it up and listen to it, seriously. But here's the basic, I think it's a sad statement for our society, but does this touch us? Some of the lyrics I copied down was, I only talk to God when I need a favor. We would never do that, would we? That's for the world. And I only pray when I ain't got a prayer. In other words, when all I don't have any other choices. He says, I'm throwing up prayers like Hail Marys. You know what Hail Marys are? Like in football, the last play, time running out, and they heave one down 70 yards and hope that they can catch it for a score and win the game. And then he goes on, and it's raw, but he goes on, but God, I need a favor. Isn't that a lot like us? We kind of communicate with God from favor to favor. Oh, I need this or I need that. But God says, no, I want there to be constant communication, nonstop. You say, well, Pastor, you're talking a pipe dream here. It's impossible. Well, you take a smart device, and most of you have one. And here's what I want to get practical about this, because I think we sometimes mistakenly think in regards to prayer and communication. But this smart device, you carry wherever you go. Would anybody admit in the room that you even carry it into the bathroom? I didn't think you would. But because you have that smart device with you, you have constant, nearly instant access to people you know and love. And throughout the day, how many texts or Instagram or whatever do you send out? Just short bursts of messages by various means, night and day. Do you do that? Of course you do. Many of you communicate nonstop. You're checking this and checking that constantly. Okay, if it's possible doing this, how much more is it even possible to do that continually with God the Father? Through Jesus Christ. So here's what I'm talking about. Kathy Frizzell doesn't know. If you've ever gotten a text from her, I guarantee you it takes you 5 minutes to read one text. But she can text 5 minutes, you know, in just like 30 seconds. But most of us do short ones. But I want you to think about prayer and communication with God that's in the same way. All through the day, there are to be, I believe this is what Scripture is telling us, to be short bursts of communication beyond the beginning and ending of the day and beyond mealtime. I'm not negating those things. We're to do it constantly and continually throughout the day. That is practicing the presence of God, being in His presence, being continually aware of Him. That's what we are to do regularly. Are you? Let me give you some examples that are practical, I believe. When you see a gorgeous sunset, just go ahead and point and praise. You don't have to say anything. And just, if you don't know where to go, come to the church when the sun is setting and look out there. You'll be blown away nearly every evening with the beauty of the sun. Just point and say, oh, God, you've outdone yourself again. When you hear a great worship song or hymn of praise, just point and praise. When you lift your arms, that's what you're really doing. Thank Him for His presence. That He said He'd never leave you or forsake you. Or thank Him for His provision. Thank Him for the job that He's provided. Pray now for that person who seems to be hurting. Ask God to work in their life and through their life. And Lord, help me to make a difference, to be a blessing in someone's life today. Help me to represent You very well right now. Father, I want to bring You glory today in this meeting, at this event, in this relationship, by the way I drive, by the way I respond, by the way I react, by the way, whatever I do. I want to speak to and honor people in a way that would honor You. When you start to practice this, before you know it, you will be praying without ceasing. So I'm saying again, you may say, well, morning's my prayer time. Well, that's good, but it's not one and done. Are you with me? You're just setting yourself in position to say, the rest of the day, I'm setting the course because I want to be mindful of God and His presence in my life all through the day. And I want to be aware of every opportunity, any opportunity that He brings my way. You'll develop that constant awareness of God's presence but you've got to have the daily communication. His word in you, alive and active, not only speaking, but listening to his prompts. And that leads me to my second point, which is this. Not only daily communication, but daily obedience. I mean, what good is it going to do you if you just listen, but you don't respond, you don't obey? Daily obedience. That flows, in other words, that means that moment-by-moment obedience, and I like to call it instant obedience. My mother used to say, and constantly stressed this to me whenever she had a chance, I just guess I needed it more than the other kids, but she stressed the instant obedience. She said, that's really the measure of true love and trust. The quicker you obey. Galatians 5:25 states, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in, listen, every part of our lives. What part? Not some parts, every part. Follow the Spirit's leading. Another translation says, keep in step with the Spirit. And the best way I know to do this is just to keep irrigating your heart and life with a constant flow of God's word. Awareness of his presence. I'll go back to his word, 2 Timothy, a wonderful passage, chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong with our lives. And it corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what's right. Is that good or what? That's the power of God's word in us, his presence in us. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. In other words, everything that he has called us to do. So I ask you, as I've asked before, is it in you? Or do you think you've reached your quota? Well, I don't know how many times I've read the Bible through, many times. But I don't have enough because I've never read it on a day like today before until I did today. Got it? Are you running on the past influence of God's word because you've read it and you kind of know it instead of just keeping on getting it into your very being? God will speak to you if you'll listen to his word and his spirit. He'll prompt you to do things that are way beyond coincidence. And I'll tell a story about that in a moment. But here's some examples of that daily obedience. It's being in tune with him, aware of his presence. It often deals directly with people and relationships. It may look like this, asking a person a simple question about how they're doing or noticing them and asking them if they're okay. Have you ever asked somebody if they're okay and they just burst into tears? Have you? Did you know that could be life-changing, just taking the time to notice and to ask? When you just, in our crazy world of isolation, when you notice someone looking them in the eye and to the heart with focused attention, doing an act of kindness for no good reason for someone you don't know and can't repay you in any way, providing a compassionate and a listening ear, embracing a pray now moment. May I pray for you right now? Remembering someone's name and their story and asking them about it. Have you ever had that encounter where you meet somebody and they tell you their story and then later you go back and you just ask them, you see them to go, oh, by the way, how's your mother? How's your father? You know what? That means the world to them, doesn't it? Just like it means the world to you. Daily communication, talking to God, not just when we need a favor, but constantly in communication. And having his word just saturates and say, Lord, when you speak, I'll listen and I will obey you. As soon as I recognize it's you, I will obey you. And thirdly, developing just a daily dependence upon him. Psalm 84, 1 and 2, again, how lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. So I'm asking those of you within the sound of my voice today who have said yes to Jesus, not just in form but in function, saying it's an impact in my life and I've never gotten over meeting Jesus, I'm following him. Have you ever felt this way? How long has it been since you longed for a sense of God's presence in your life? How long? Here's a question. How is your appetite for God? Are you hungry for him? Or have you had enough? Just as much as you want. I believe that you develop your appetite by what you consume. And when you feed on the things of this world, which I've termed just the good life, that's exactly what you'll crave. You'll want more, but you'll never be satisfied. You'll keep longing for that ever elusive good life when there's something so much better. Psalm 34:8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys who take refuge of those who take refuge in him. When I was growing up, I can remember Andre at a concert going, oh, taste and see. Would you repeat that in song? Go, oh, taste and see. Let's try it again. Oh, taste and see. Oh, taste and see. Come on, sing it. That the Lord is good. He's really good. That was a kid, and I still remember that. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Develop a taste for the presence of God. You can't do without it in your daily life. The more you do, the more you'll never want to settle for less. You'll develop that daily dependence. That's not sick codependency. That's what we need, daily dependence on him. Psalm 63:1-2. Oh God, you are my God. I earnestly search for you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you in this parched and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in your sanctuary and have gazed upon your power and glory. God, I need you. All time, full time. Lord, I've tasted your goodness and I've seen your glory and I can never get enough of you. I'm hungry for your presence in my life. I want to constantly be aware of your presence because I claim to be a follower of you. I've said yes to you. You've forgiven me of my sin. You've given me new life. You've given me your Holy Spirit to dwell in me and I want to live there. When you constantly communicate with God and as you practice daily obedience, you'll experience a growing and healthy daily dependence on him. Can you do a day without God? Can you do a day without God? What's it say again? Psalm 63:3, your unfailing love is better than life itself. Oh, how I praise you. I will praise you as long as I live, lifting my hands to you in prayer. When you realize his ways are better, you'll no longer pursue and settle for just that good life. You'll want the God life. You'll experience his grace and mercy and love and forgiveness and presence and power. His sovereignty, you'll see it at work in new ways. You'll begin to long for what's better. Another day in his presence. You'll see each day as an opportunity. Hear me. I'm done. You'll no longer want to only offer God your spiritual time in the morning, noon, or night, whenever it may be. You'll want to give him your whole day, your whole life. You're going to live with that ongoing sense of his presence. No more compartmentalization. Everything is spiritual. Once you've experienced a day with God, you'll never want to do a day without him. You'll never want to do your life without him. Oh God, give us a hunger. I was checked on this story, but I felt like I should share it. Just at it the last moment. I read this story. It's true. The pastor shared. So look for all three points that I just made about the dailies, communication and obedience and dependence. So he said he was flying home. I don't know what day of the week it was, but it was late. He'd been exhausted from his speaking schedule, and he's from a very large church and churches. He was waiting on a flight, and I think St. Louis airport, it was late, and he was sitting there reading, and all of a sudden he sensed a young lady across from him looking at him. And he said, I sensed that she was looking at me like, you're my pastor, look. And sure enough, before long, she got up and came over to him, and she said just that, you're my pastor. So they talked a few minutes and exchanged some pleasantries before the pastor politely excused himself and went back to reading his book. But when he did, as he did, he sensed the Holy Spirit checking him on this. And he knew the Spirit told him, prompted him in obedience, that she needed to share more. So he fought it a little bit. Then he said to the lady, looked up, put his book down, said, "Excuse me, ma'am, but I sense you wanted to say more, and I want you to know that I'm here, and I'd be happy to listen to what's on your heart." In the airport, in front of God and everybody, she instantly broke down in tears like a dam breaking forth, and she just blurted this out. True story. "I love my husband. Last night, I've been on a business trip, and I was at dinner, and I started drinking. I never should have, and I ended up getting wasted, and I ended up in a bed with a guy that I didn't even know." She said, "I am devastated. I have messed up our life, my life. I have messed up our marriage forever." The pastor said, I did a text prayer right then, a breath prayer, I like to call it. He just said something like this under his breath to the Lord, "God, please give me the words to say. I need help now." He said, "I need a favor." I've been there. Feel overwhelmed. So he looked her in the eye after listening, and she was weeping. He said, "I'm so sorry, and you're right. What you did is devastating. I want to tell you this. God has put me here at this time, in this place, with delays right now, because I believe he wants me to speak truth into your life and to marriage. Take hope in that. God has put me here for you." That gives me goosebumps. The pastor, they talked and they prayed, and the pastor took out his phone and he called a counselor that he'd worked with from his church. And it was late. It was after 9 o'clock at night, but she took the call. And on the spot, after he talked and told the situation, he took the phone and handed it to this gal, and she set up a marriage appointment for the next week for counseling that they were going to need. And then the pastor said, "Now," called her by name and said, "Now I've got to tell you." He said, "You have to confess this to your husband. He may never find out, but you can't live with secrets. Relationships can't thrive with integrity when they're secrets. Secrets destroy relationships." He said, "You have to." And he pressed her, and she agreed to do that. Her husband was on a trip. He was going to be back late Friday night. She said, and they set a time. She said, "I will do this. I will confess to him Saturday morning at 10 a.m. And the pastor said before they parted, "I want you to know that I'll be praying for you specifically." The story's not over. Saturday morning, the pastor went on his way. He was home, and he had to drop one of his kids off at some event, some practice, and he had a little bit of time to know what to do. So believe it or not, he felt prompted to go to Walmart. Now, for me, it would have to be a God prompt to go to Walmart other than to pick up my wife. No offense, anybody that works at Walmart. He never went there, but you see that constant communication, that listening? Go to Walmart. Would you be willing to go to Walmart if God asked you to? The pastor was there wondering what he was doing there, turned the corner and ran into a young man who literally came crashing up, run up to said, "You're my pastor. You encountered my wife in the St. Louis airport, and she confessed to what she'd done and what had happened." The pastor, this is a huge church, he did not know them. They attended his church, but he didn't know them. They attended one of the campuses. And he said, I didn't know what to do. I was so distraught. This was around 10:30 to 11. He said, "I came to Walmart just to walk around so I could think." And the pastor in his heart, he said, "I know," just to himself, he said, "this is a special God moment." And he looked at this young man and said, "Sir, my heart breaks for you." And they embraced, and this guy just right there in front of God and everybody at Walmart in the aisle just broke down and cried. And the pastor said, "This is one of the most devastating blows you could ever experience in your life. God put me in that airport to connect with your wife. And God has put me here today to connect with you, because what the enemy meant for evil, God is going to use for good in spite of what's been done. I'll stick with you through this. God will give you the power to forgive and to move on. God wants to do something huge with this story." He cried some more, and they prayed, and the pastor, true to his word, stuck with it, and they worked at it with counseling and all. And to this day, he said, now, years later, God has brought healing to this couple, and their marriage is stronger than ever. Do you see the points in that? Do you see the constant communication? So the Lord could say, go to Walmart, and he said, okay, instant obedience. He could receive those prompts. Do you see that daily dependence on God, that breath prayer, help, help, I need a favor, God. I'm in a jam. I don't humanly have the words. And I just want to close by saying this, that the same is true for you. It's not in the big things we do, but it's being available. It's being so in tune with Him and obedient instantly. We're just living palms up. You never know how God might use you to make an eternal difference in somebody's life. Just by something you say, by a question you ask, just by a listening ear. Are you willing? Are you available? See, I'm just talking about what I always say. It's about living palms up, just saying, Lord, I'm available. What a privilege to be used by you. So I offer myself to you today. I'm not like a chessboard. You strategically place me wherever you want me because I know you have a purpose. I may not understand it. I may not see it, but God, I'm all yours all the time. So if you've said yes to Jesus, and if you can truly say today, I am a child of God, then offer him your life completely and saying, I want to represent you all the time. I want to be so aware of you. I want to talk to you in the morning, but I want to talk to you all through the day, and I just want to point and praise and thank you and give you glory every opportunity I get. And I want to be a difference maker in people's lives. Amen. I'm going to invite you to stand if you can. We'll end with a little point and praise song, I call it. The altars are always open. If you don't know Jesus, you may be Christian, but you're not a Christian because you've got to make that confession, that profession of faith. And a profession turns into possession and you live it as his full-time representative. Maybe you're here and you're compartmentalizing your life and you just need to tell God you're sorry and say, I got to get my act together because people are taking cues from the parts of my life where I leave God out. My family, my kids, my grands, whatever the case may be. I want to be consistent. I want to be constantly aware of your presence. Some of you used to be in God's word, but it's like you've gotten enough and you've gotten lazy and you're not drawing from that life-giving source, that irrigating source. We need to back up and refocus our lives. Or you're chasing good things, thinking they're God things. And yeah, everything good's from God, but you want to pursue him. All these other things will take care of themselves. You can pray where you are. You can pray at home, but you can pray. We have stairs and altars. If God's speaking to you, would you take decisive action? Nothing's going to change until you do. Testimony would have never happened had not that gal said, I will confess at 10 a.m. by 10 a.m. on Saturday morning. Or God, place me where you want me so that I can be a difference maker and speak hope into somebody's life. Father, thank you for your presence. We want to point to you and praise you right now as we conclude this service.